Well, is the resurrection important? Certainly, you can be a good person, you can be a moral person, you can be very kind and be thought of as a cool person and not believe in the resurrection. You could be thought of as smart and funny and still not believe in the resurrection. So why should we believe in such a supernatural act as the resurrection of Jesus? Well, Paul says that if Christ has not been raised, then our faith is in vain. Friends, if the archaeologists were to discover Jesus' body in some tomb somewhere, then we should just throw out the New Testament. We should might as well just be atheists. But if the resurrection is true, if Jesus was indeed raised on that Sunday morning, that stone was rolled away to reveal that he was not there, if the eyewitnesses' accounts can be believed, then that changes everything. And the world's way of living is vanity. And our way of believing in God and in Christ, that will last. Our life will not be in vain. Today, we're going to have Steve read from the Gospel of John. And as he does read this passage that takes place on Easter Sunday and the week following, just notice the repeated phrase, "Peace be with you." Steve, would you come read God's word?
Good morning. Our scripture this morning is John 20, 19 to 31. But before I read it, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we celebrate your resurrection this day. I pray that you would fill this assembly with your spirit. Illuminate our souls, our hearts. Help us as we hear your word, that we not only be hearers of the word, but we act upon it. In Jesus' name. Amen. John 20, 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Steve. Well, did you catch it? Peace be with you. It was mentioned three times, and it kind of creates an outline for my sermon today. Peace be with you. It's a very common way to greet people in Israel. They say, "Shalom Aleichem." And yet, in the scriptures, it is here that we see it on the lips of Jesus. Peace be with you. And he's in giving it more meaning than just a common greeting, I believe, at this point. Jesus, through his death and through his resurrection, has now accomplished that peace. Peace today is a universal longing. We all want to have peace. And yet the peace that we attain as a global nation, as an individual, it seems like it's always just a little bit out of reach, or as soon as we get it, it seems to shatter. The Apostle Paul picks up this theme, and in all his letters, he starts each greeting to the church with the words grace and peace. Typically, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So first, let's consider Jesus' resurrection and how it actually accomplished peace. We will understand, we need to understand the depth and the breadth of that word peace. So let's start with that. Peace. We think about it on all different levels, don't we? We think about war and the lack of war, the lack of a conflict between people groups as a time of peace. And so that is peace. And yet peace is much more than that too. Sometimes we think about peace as everything's going well. I have my health. I'm not in distress. I am at peace. Or we can think about peace in not only our body, but in relationships. You know, I'm at peace with my spouse. I'm at peace with my children. I'm at peace with coworkers. And so we talk about peace in that. And that is all correct. That is all peace. And yet peace is much greater than those things as well. What is peace? Peace is a multidimensional wholeness and well-being, physically, psychologically, socially, and spiritually. It is all things in heaven and earth being reconciled with God the Father through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. That peace is anticipated with the birth of the Prince of Peace, and now on Sunday, the risen Jesus has accomplished that peace. So friends, as we think about peace on multidimensional levels, at the core of not having peace is sin and the curse. At the core of peace, then, is reconciliation with the Father. And that was accomplished in Jesus' death and resurrection. So sin breaks shalom, our sin as well as the sin of others. Jesus on the cross took the curse of sin and bore the wrath of God. His sacrifice brings us peace with God. He and his body reconciled a broken world with a holy and righteous creator. Friends, attempts at peace without Jesus are fleeting and cannot solve the root of the brokenness that is being cut off from God. True peace was achieved and is accomplished in Jesus' death and resurrection. So let us rejoice in the peace of the risen Jesus that he brings to the world. And let's look at its ramifications here in John chapter 20. Here's my little outline for us. Peace be with you. The resurrection, resurrected Jesus turns fear into joy, verses 19 and 20. Peace be with you. The second time he says it, the resurrected Jesus commissions the disciples, verses 21 and 23. And the third time he says it in this passage, peace be with you. The resurrected Jesus blesses those who believe. So peace be with you. The resurrected Jesus turns fear into joy. On Friday, Jesus was betrayed with a kiss. He was surrounded by Roman soldiers. On Friday, he was arrested. His disciples ran for their lives. On Friday, the religious and political powers condemned Jesus to death, leading Peter to even deny knowing him three times. On Friday, Jesus is whipped, spit on, his beard pulled out, his head cruelly crowned with a crown of thorns. He's mocked. He's humiliated. On Friday, Jesus had lost so much blood he couldn't even carry his own cross up the hill, crucifixion. On Friday, his hands and his feet were nailed on a wooden cross. He is lifted up for everyone to gawk at as he struggles to breathe. On Friday, he dies. His side is pierced with a spear. On Friday, he is buried. On Saturday, the Sabbath, the disciples are stunned. Everything happened so fast. Their master, their rabbi, their Messiah, the one they thought would bring peace, well, for all appearances, he has been defeated by the religious leaders, by those jealous over his popularity, and by the pure evil of Satan. On Sunday, they are found in a locked room for fear of the Jews, it says. The powerful religious leaders who crucified Jesus could easily do the same to them. How could they not be overwhelmed by fear and grief? To those who grieve, to those who fear, to those who have given up on hope, Even to these disciples, Jesus himself suddenly appears. The doors were locked, but they can't keep Jesus out. He comes and announces to them, in their fear and their trembling, "Peace be with you. Shalom aleichem." Peace that drives out fear and gloom and despair. The crucified and dead Messiah is alive and standing before them, announcing that he brings them wholeness, repair for all the brokenness. Jesus had promised that their sadness would be turned to joy, and boy was it ever. John says they were overjoyed beyond belief that they witnessed that Jesus had overcome death, that he is victorious over the grave, that his death was not meaningless or a mistake, that God turned it around into salvation, peace, and healing for the world. They begin to understand that the cross was in reality a place of victory over the devil and where their sins were canceled and new life begun. Peace. It overcomes fear and grief and brings joy. Jesus repeats this greeting in verse 21. "Peace be with you." Here the resurrected Jesus commissions his disciples. Jesus came on a mission from God. He completed his mission, and now before he ascends back to the Father, he sends out his followers to continue his mission. In this commissioning, he is giving them authority and power. The disciples are sent out by Jesus. They go in his name and his authority to proclaim that Jesus has brought reconciliation of sinners with a holy God. Listen to how Paul says this commission in his letter to the Corinthians. Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus gives his followers not only authority to carry out his message of peace, of reconciliation with God, but he also symbolizes giving them power through the Holy Spirit by breathing on them and saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That reminds us of God's breath into Adam, and Adam became a living being at creation. And now the Spirit is imparted at the day of Pentecost in a couple days, and his disciples will be giving boldness and the ability to speak in other languages. So what is this here in John 20? It's not Pentecost. It's not creation, but Jesus breathes out and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, as I have researched this with commentators, they almost all say he's pointing forward to Pentecost here. He's giving a symbolic outpouring of the Spirit. Friends, the church goes in the name of Jesus to proclaim reconciliation with God. But we go not on our power. We go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is why the church invests itself with the healing of the world, with reconciling the world, first to God and then with each other. And we carry that out through poverty elimination. We carry that out through mediating problems in marriages and social conflicts. We carry that out in praying for and supporting those recovering from different addictions. We come alongside those grieving and confused and angry and share with them the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. We do this in word and action, sometimes in secret unseen. Sometimes we do it as light that shines forth in our dark world. But this is what the church is commissioned to do, to bring God's reconciliation between us and the Father and between humanity to the world. Jesus says, after this, he says, "If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive, they are not forgiven." Well, that verse caused me some consternation this week. What does Jesus mean by this? Only God has the power to forgive sins. And I was helped by several good Bible teachers who have written extensively on this passage, that the forgiveness of sins is the theme of our message. It's the theme of our preaching, or the theme of our sharing, of being reconciled to God. Is Christ became sin for us, and our sins are forgiven on the cross. That is the message we are bearing to the world. And it is that message that, if believed, indeed accomplishes that, that sins are forgiven. And it's a message that is, if it is rejected, then their sins are retained. They keep their sins. They have not accepted and received the forgiveness that is offered to them. So that is what Jesus is saying, is the power of our message through the Holy Spirit is that we proclaim the good news. Jesus is the good news. He has accomplished peace. And we proclaim it to others. Your sins are forgiven. Look to Christ. He took them upon themselves. And for all who believe, that indeed is true. The resurrected Jesus, who has secured our forgiveness of sins on the cross, now sends us out with his Spirit to make reconciliation known near and far. Peace be with you. So that third time that Jesus says this, it is to Thomas a week later. And for some reason, Thomas wasn't with the other disciples. We're not told why. But as he hears the other disciples say that they have seen the risen Jesus, he's skeptical. He's actually pretty adamant that he will not believe unless he actually tangibly sees and touches the wounds of Christ. Well, 1 week later, Jesus shows up once again through a locked door, and this time Thomas is there, and Jesus says to him, "Peace be with you." God's reconciling work of forgiveness is now accomplished, and Jesus brings wholeness and healing. Jesus says to Thomas, "Reach out and touch. See the scars. Put your hand in my side. See, it's really me. Stop doubting and believe." And this is where the doubting Thomas becomes the believing Thomas, saying, "My Lord and my God." What a powerful and beautiful declaration of faith. I do not fault Thomas for being absent at Jesus' first appearance on Easter, nor of his doubt. In God's providence, his delayed belief is encouraging for many of us. That the skeptic believes provides additional evidence that Jesus' resurrection was not some hoax and assures us that Jesus hears us even when we're not physically present. Should we doubt in order that greater glory might go to later belief? No. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Let us be those who do not doubt the good news of Jesus, his death and resurrection, accomplishing peace with the Father for us. The result of our being reconciled with God is that all things are now working for the healing and redemption and our own good. While certainly not everything in our world and lives is good, we still see war and tragedy, abuse, neglect all around us, and they come to believers at the same rate as everybody else. But when we see beyond the darkness of the hurt in our lives, we see Jesus' work on the cross. We see that the pain and the tribulation we currently face are only light and momentary compared with the grand and joyous work that God has begun in us and is carrying on to completion. If you doubt today the good news of God, John says he wrote this gospel for you. So you can read of Jesus' supernatural work recorded by those who were witnesses to it. And it's there for you to believe. And I challenge you all to read the Gospel of John. That's just 21 chapters. Read it through. And look for all the ways that John points us to Jesus' supernatural work that we might believe in him. I'd love to discuss John with you in the future as you take me up on that challenge. Well, what are you feeling today? I hope that many of you are filled with joy and peace and hope, yet perhaps some of us are not there. Perhaps we are in a dark night of the soul and everything looks bleak and bad. Friends, in this world, we do have trouble, even tribulations that seem too much for us, but they will not last forever. Because of the resurrection, we know that the night will not last forever. It may be dark, but a glorious day will break forth, and the glory of the Lord will overcome and heal all our pain. There is a day coming when there will be no more night or darkness. The resurrection assures us of this. Do we know the peace of God? The peace that surpasses understanding? Do we know that the resurrection of Jesus makes concrete our peace with God? It is a victory already won outside of ourselves. We do not have to find peace inside of us. We look to the cross where it was accomplished for us and then applied to us. Our sins are forgiven. That is a fact that we did not do, but what Christ did on the cross. So even when the devil likes to harass us with our past sins, we just look to the cross and believe that Jesus has died for them. For there our sins are canceled. Not some of them, not most of them, all of them. We have peace with God because God made Jesus a sin offering for us, and he now receives us as his dearly loved children. Well, are we living this out? How do we live this out? I think we live it out as ambassadors of God's peace to a troubled world. We speak good news of forgiveness to the hurting. We work as peacemakers in the conflicts of our world. And we are unshakable by the political, racial, economic divisions in our culture because we are rooted instead in the death of Jesus that makes us one in Christ, that strips our pride in the world and replaces it with a spirit of unity and reconciliation with one another. Friends, Christ died. Christ is risen. Christ has accomplished peace for us and for our world. Let us believe it and live and share it. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we often get in a muddle and a fix because we keep looking inside of us or for systems in this world to bring us peace, and they all sooner or later disappoint. But I thank you that true wholeness and healing and reconciliation with God has happened in a definitive act of crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That cross has been transformed from a place of defeat into a place that we now recognize a deep, secured victory over death, over sin, for us on our behalf. Send us out in the power of the Spirit into our workplaces, into our homes, into our world this day as ambassadors proclaiming your peace and reconciliation in the cross, that your healing work might continue through us in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.